Oh, look at that. It's like there's a static charge. The arm hair is going up. This is not a fear reaction. This is an energetic exchange. Something is using my energy to try to communicate.
I feel like he's here trying to show people it wasn't my fault. It is possible that Patrick was trying to get Barb's attention. He's not in a good space on the other side. He is, man, I wonder, what the hell? What the hell?
I think we need to go back to the Fink house tonight and do a full investigation because the spirits are out and they want to be heard tonight. You guys ready? Let's do this.
From the historic Haunted Heartland in Omaha, Nebraska, my name is Brian Corey, and it is my pleasure to welcome you all, young and old, to this episode of Necronomicast, the finest in creepy conversations. So tonight, my late-night conversation features world-renowned psychic medium Cindy Kaza and broadcast podcast legend Dave Schrader. They're on the program to talk tonight about their recent collaboration, The Ghosts of Devil's Perch, that is now on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus. But honestly, just be ready. It's going to be a revealing conversation with two of the most respected and experienced paranormal investigative experts working in the field today, Cindy Kaza and Dave Schrader. And now calling in on the Necronomicast Newsmaker Hotline, I've got the dynamic duo, the 1-2 punch of Dave Schrader and Cindy Kaza. I am so excited to have both of you on my program. Welcome you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Cindy, I've had the pleasure to attend a number of your gallery readings. They've always leaving me like full of wonder and amazement at what you uncover from a room full of strangers. And Dave, to have, honestly, one of the OGs and one of the top names in the world of paranormal broadcasting and podcasting on my show as a guest, I must have done something right somewhere along the line in life. So just to have you guys on the show, I'm super excited for this conversation.
Well, thank you for having us.
No, thanks for having us.
All right. I've been watching with the rest of the world the brand new television show that you guys filmed, Ghosts of Devil's Perch. And it's remarkable. I've seen the first four episodes. And I know you guys filmed this a while ago, but can you tell me a little bit about like the genesis of these shows? Now you're working with law enforcement, you're working with local historians. How do they bring in some of the top minds in the paranormal world? You guys, along with KD Stafford, how does the genesis of this show begin? Like, how do you get that call?
Well, this is the fourth season, right? There was Ghosts of Shepherdstown with Elizabeth St. and Nick Roth for seasons 1 and 2. A new team was called into Morgan City, Louisiana with Ben Hansen, Sarah Lemos, Jeremy Leonard, and Katie Stafford. And Cindy and I had been filming a TV series called The Holzer Files with Shane Pittman, where we were investigating Hans Holzer's original ghost files. And when they needed somebody to look into this new set of issues, they had, by now Mayor J.P. Gallagher and Sheriff Lester, we're dealing with things in Butte, Montana. And, there's only so much you can do as a police officer. If there's a bad guy, you cuff him, you drag him out. On a show like this, when the supernatural rears its ugly head, they just reached out to the same deal and asked, and they put us together to give us a chance to go out and see if we could work through what was happening in Butte and give answers to the people that are there. And that's basically what it was. Cindy and I rolled over and from Holzer Files onto this fourth season. And we were introduced to Katie, who had been on Morgan City, and just kind of meshed together and started off with a bang. I mean, as you saw from episode one, we were right into the thick of it.
How about you, Cindy? Like working with Steve Shippey, I saw you earlier in the year and I had the opportunity to have Steve on my show.
Yeah, I love Steve.
Yeah, like you're chasing serial killers, Ed Gein and then the Gainesville Ripper. And now you got to hang out with Dave Schrader again.
I know. No, I didn't know a whole lot about anything going into these cases because I don't want to. So, I mean, I arrived in Butte, but I knew nothing about the places that we were going. They didn't tell me anything, which is the way that I like to work, because when you have any information on your mind as a medium, your mind wants to make a story out of it based on preconceived notions or past experiences. So a lot of people think, oh, you know, mediums are given information, they're fed information. I like beg people not to feed me anything. I'm like, don't tell me anything, because it actually really screws me up. So, I mean, I think Dave, you know, always has a little bit more information than I do because he's the lead investigator and he has to have that going in. But, you know, so for me throughout the series of this show, it was super interesting to sort of piece together why these hauntings were occurring and what was really going on in the town of Butte. Because, you know, I think as Dave and I have talked about, what people think history is, what the history books tell us, isn't always what happened, as we know. So as a medium, it's really fun to be able to go in and talk to the spirits and see what they have to say about it. You know, the joke is they're going to take it to the grave with them, but then there's a medium and then that doesn't work out so well, you know?
Absolutely. I enjoy watching these shows with you. Well, any show with the psychic medium, because it just opens up another door or realm to the paranormal that traditionally I haven't read a lot about. I'm getting more and more into psychic mediumship and learning about those things. I've been reading a lot from Lloyd Auerbach and the whole psychic connection between the paranormal. So I find it very, very, very fascinating when they bring in a medium like yourself. And I've, like I said at the top of the show, I've attended gallery readings with you. And what you're able to put together with a room full of strangers is incredible. Now, then you sit there with a historian and you're going through things. And I'm watching in real time as you've already done sort of an investigation. And then you sit down with the historian and he starts tapping into these things. And the look on your face of amazement and shock when he's saying these things that you hours before have started to uncover yourself. It's just amazing how these things start to play out in real time on this show.
It's funny because my friends are always like, why are you always so surprised when you get something right? And I'm like, you know, it's actually pretty funny, but I genuinely am, because I'm just in awe of the connection to the spirit world. It's like, once I lose that, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing my job anymore, but I can't wait to, for all of you to see how it all unfolds, because I think people are really going to love this show. Yeah.
And Dave, you've worked with Sydney, in the past, on Holzer files, investigating those great cases that Hans Holzer, you know, laid out years and years before. When you're working with the psychic medium, how does that change your vast experience of paranormal investigation?
Well, you've got to trust the process, and having good tools around you and good people around you, that's important. You know, we've got a great historian with Chris Fisk. He's the town historian and works with this great little collection of people that really love this area and love the history. And it's great that we can bring something to them. They think they know most of the legend and lore. And when Cindy throws out a name and they're like, doesn't ring a bell. And then they start digging in and boom, there it is. And it lines up with what she was picking up on. It blows them away. So that's cool to watch. And then having KD, the mad scientist of the paranormal, building all this equipment to try to find a way for you, the audience, and us to witness what Cindy is doing. That really, you know, it's a great spectacle. So it brings everything together. You've got the journalistic aspect of a lead investigator asking the questions, pushing the bounds. And then you've got the medium who's going in and having to do the heavy work of sifting through hundreds of years of data and information and ghosts and stories and get to the heart of the real matter, which is tough. I give her a lot of credit. That's crazy work. And then you've got, you know, KD, who kind of on the spot, we're like, well, this is what's going on here. And he's like, well, let me create something that we can use to measure that and try to, you know, hone in on that aspect of this story to make communication. And, it, you know, like I said, when you trust the process, it works a lot better than bucking it and trying to do things a different way. And Cindy and I have found a good way to work together, and KD fit into that nicely. So it's been a good mix, as you saw, and they're good teammates to have, because, you know, by now we're 4 episodes in. Episode 5 airs very soon here. And you've seen a lot happen to our team, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and, you know, it's all building and there's a lot more to show. And I'm hoping that you and everybody that's been tuning in loves the show. It's every Sunday on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus, Ghosts of Devil's Perch. And if you've missed it, go back and catch up and then watch the rest of the episodes with us, because there's a lot more to be revealed to this town.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you're mentioning things like the history, the focus on history. What was the name of your historian on the show?
Chris Fisk. We just call him Fisk half the time on the show. Yeah, he's a high school teacher and history teacher, and he takes it beyond the classroom. He does things, as you saw in the Cabbage Patch episode, where he incorporates bringing the students there to let them spend a night and learn what it's like to have lived as a homeless person in this encampment, and, you know, getting tarps or cardboard to sleep on in the cold, and, you know, hanging out around a barrel fire and eating whatever you've got. They had to give up their cell phones. They had to give up all modern conveniences. And it was funny because it was kind of like watching The Walking Dead. They all just kind of walking around, bumbling into each other, not knowing what to do. How do we communicate without texting one another? And they learn. They, you know, so it's great to see the passion he has to the project. And that helps bring it to life for us so that we know we're not just dealing with a dusty old history text. You've got a guy who lives it, breathes it, was born and raised there, and he wants to get this right for his town, for the ghosts, and for us. So he's a great piece of this puzzle for us to have.
And what's great about it and what's so fascinating is the focus on history, because you guys are not investigating one singular location. You're not in one residence, one haunted house, or one haunted place. You're throughout the entire community. So taking that history and embracing it and opening it up to the entire community, because this is something that's plaguing Butte, Montana. So it's very fascinating when you take the historical and the community aspect and how they're affected by a haunting or disturbances or ripples in the psychic realm. Super interesting. Dave, I don't know how else to put this, but you kind of get your ass kicked a couple times early on in this season. I just wondered how you're doing physically now. Like, how do you, you know, rebound from that? Because they took it out on you. I'm only four episodes in, and they, you know, you had a pretty rough go at the beginning.
Dave gets a beat down.
Well, you know, my good friend Cindy Kaza, the medium, and my other buddy Chris Fleming, the medium, I did the episode of that one-off Shock Doc, The Curse of Lizzie Borden. Right. And Chris opened me up without me knowing to have an experience. And I did a very horrible automatic writing session that was forced on me. And when I got done, I immediately called Cindy. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? That was terrifying. And Chris never bothered to tell me, well, now that you've kind of ruptured that aspect of you, be prepared and really protect yourself. So, you know, when we visited the Cabbage Patch, we had a very traumatic experience. For those that haven't seen it, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, I end up in the hospital, and that was scary as hell, because we didn't know. I felt like something ruptured inside me, and I was like, oh God, this is how I'm going to go out in a ball on the floor of a dirty old shack. And, you know, that really shook me. I got very emotional in it. And thankfully in the episode, they don't show how bad, you know, but it was scary as hell. And then to have the experience in the basement of that house where we strip back the veneer of being an investigator and kind of tap into what Cindy does with doing that Estes Gansfield method and taking away my vision, having those headphones on, their noise canceling headphones. We're listening to the spirit box. Katie is asking a series of questions, and the things that I heard coming through there. Again, I give all the credit to people like Cindy that do this work for a living, because that you can ask Cindy, that tore me up. I was done for the night. I was bawling my eyes out. And again, they don't show it as hard as it was on the series. I was done. I was sobbing. I couldn't collect myself, because it was just too overwhelming. So I can't even fathom what being put into this environment for 3 months with Cindy for her was like, because it's these spirits demanded to be heard.
And Cindy, you go through this all the time. Dave mentioned earlier when he was working with Chris Fleming, and I had Sam Baltrusis on about the Lizzie Borden Shock Doc.
Right.
But when Cindy, do you notice, like, when people are engaging and opening the door to this kind of psychic realm and opening themselves up to this kind of experience, do you see it as a medium that people's, their own psychic abilities kind of heighten or maybe progress a little bit, even if they haven't shown those tendencies before?
I mean, sure. Look, I mean, everybody has psychic ability. Everybody has mediumistic ability. I always say everyone can play the piano. Not everybody's going to be a concert pianist. But the more you're in the environment, of course, it's only natural that I think you would start to have more experiences. I think that a lot of people, if not most people, I mean, I can't make a blanket statement really, but a whole lot of people have had paranormal experiences or experiences that they can't quite explain, but they're too afraid to talk about it. So having these experiences is actually a lot more common than people are willing to admit. So it's only natural that when you're thrown into these environments where there's a lot of residual energy, a lot of very active, intelligent, you know, spirits, that you're going to have some sort of experience. You know, I've seen Dave over the last, you know, how many years have we worked together? 4 years, three seasons. Yeah. I mean, it's like I've seen it slowly but surely, Dave becoming more and more open to spirits. And it is scary at first because you aren't prepared for it. You don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to set boundaries and all of those things. So, you know, I feel bad for you, Dave, but it's been fun watching it. You know, it's like, I don't like seeing you get your ass kicked, but it's like really interesting to watch you having these experiences as a medium because they're real, you know?
Well, and Cindy, you know, it was so great. I when I felt that issue hit me and I hit the ground, we're all thinking, oh, you know, Dave's had an appendicitis or a heart attack.
I thought you were having a heart attack. Like that was terrible. It was honestly like, sorry to interrupt you, but I will tell you in that moment, it was truly like, I thought you were having a cardiac event and it was really, really scary to be there and to see that. That was, I was really, really concerned. So yeah.
Right. And you know what, truthfully, I'm glad I went in to get, I was fighting going in at first too, off camera. Cause I'm like, that was in the heat of COVID and you know, hospitals are overrun with this and I'm fighting the deal. And finally Cindy said, get your ass in the hospital. And I got in and went in and they took care of me. But that was interesting because then the doctors and nurses start telling me stories about the hospital and their homes. And you realize that this isn't just in brothels and old saloons and houses, but it's everywhere in this town. And, you know, I recommend this for people that are interested in the paranormal and want to go out. You are going to start. I always say, like, take a paperclip by itself. It's not magnetized. You take a giant magnet, like a haunted place, and you start rubbing that paperclip along the magnet and keep going in and doing that. And then you take that and move it three rooms away and touch another paperclip. And all of a sudden you can link two or three paperclips because you've kind of got that residual energy of that location. So you start to awaken and you should be prepared for that. You should know what that is and what it means. Cindy does courses on how to develop your mediumship. And then she does follow-up courses on how to use it in investigations. So whether you're active or a passive investigator, I think you should take classes from somebody like Cindy. Not somebody like Cindy, take them from Cindy. It makes much more sense. But
thanks, Dave. Yeah.
But you take those courses to see if this is right for you. A lot of people rush in, and that's what we run into. You know, we go to these locations where other paranormal investigators go in, and sometimes they stir the hornet's nest and they don't really know what to do or how to help. And they scatter and sometimes spread misinformation.
And that's important. Can I interrupt you? Yeah. Can I interrupt you for a second? Because that is a really important point where if people don't understand how to work with spirits or they don't understand the energy of spirits, they can really do a disservice to the spirit world. Because like Dave was saying, you know, people that don't have experience or don't know how to tap into that energy or work with that energy will go into a location, they'll feel something that feels negative or dark, and they'll say, it's a demon. And it's actually not even close to being demonic. It's just a spirit who has unfinished business. And so, you know, it's problematic. I've rarely encountered demons. I believe that energy exists. Yes, but it's very rare. It's a lot more rare than people make it. In my personal opinion, a lot of times we're dealing with the spirits that are angry. They might be aggressive because people aren't listening to them, whatever the reason is. But it's really important that people know that and that they understand the difference between a spirit that has unfinished business and something that's not human. And I think that a lot of inexperienced mediums and investigators will make that mistake.
So that happens a lot. I've noticed on this Ghosts of Devil's Perch, which is on Travel Channel Discovery Plus right now. That's the main focus of what we're talking about. There's a lot of history in this town of Butte. And a lot of it deals with money that was made through the copper industry. And and early on, you guys identify some key players back in the past who might have a problem with each other in the afterlife. And I thought that was super interesting, that focus on history. And also, you're tapping into these things, Cindy. Do spirits that you encounter, and forgive me if this is, you know, like a naive question, but do they know, can they recognize through the realm, or can they recognize that you're psychic or that you can relate to them instead of ignoring them?
Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, because I would say a medium is kind of like a lighthouse in the middle of the ocean, right?
Right.
So spirits know that I can hear them. They want me to pay attention to them. They want me to listen to them. And sometimes I wonder, but I'm afraid to say this, I don't want to jinx myself, but it's like, you know, when I go into these investigations, I'm not being attacked by spirits. I'm not getting pushed. I'm not getting kicked. I'm not like having those experiences. And sometimes I wonder if that's because they know that I can actually tell their story and I'm listening to them. You know, I'm actually there to hopefully help them get their version of the story out. So I'm hoping, why would they want to kick me or throw me downstairs or beat me up like they do Dave? I don't know why they do it to you, Dave. You know, you're like fresh meat. They're like, you know, but it's...
Yeah. It's also the way, you know, it's a learning curve. You've got to come in with respect. And that's what Cindy always has for these spirits. And sometimes we're posturing because I'm trying to figure out, well, you know, when we were at Whaley House with the TV show Holzer Files, they said the spirits here do not like men that think they're an authority. So I'm trying to figure out a way, is this just hype or is there something to it? So you kind of put yourself in more of an authoritative way and ask questions a little bit more directly. And the spirits will tell Cindy, I'm going to knock him on his ass. If he keeps this up, I'm going to knock him down. And part of me is thinking, sure it is. And then when something happens, you realize, but to get, you know, what's the old saying? You can't make an omelet without breaking an egg. Once in a while, you've got to push to see what's really going on there. And when I suffered the issue I had at the Cabbage Patch, that wasn't anybody pushing. I was just in the right place at the wrong moment when Cindy was picking up on this elevation of energy. You know, we think I just kind of walked into a place memory of when this tragedy took place. And I was feeling that physically. So it wasn't them trying to hurt me. I think it was trying to give me, you know, a sense of this is so real. This is what you deal with. This is what we had to deal with here. And, you know, so that, again, you know, it would have been really easy to say, oh my God, it's a demon. It's trying to eat my soul. But instead, Cindy's like, no, dummy, it's something that's reaching out and trying to show you what it's really like to have been these guys. And you hear about all the winners, you hear about all the copper barons, and you hear about, oh, without them, this town wouldn't be, but it wasn't them. They were just rich enough to run everybody else. So all of these workers who were working 24-hour shifts, and then you had the brothels running 24 hours. So there was always somebody there to service the guys coming out of the mines.
Right.
You know, there was just a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and heartache and backache and headache and backbreaking work that went into making Butte what it was. And these spirits have been forgotten largely. And we just talk about the winners. And we push aside all the people that who really made the town what it is. And Cindy found a way to connect with them. And if you watch that episode, it's great because even the historians were stymied with what happened. Our director, Brian, stepped in for me in that episode when I was down. And Cindy's the one that sifted through that paperwork and found, she's like, this is the guy. And she finds the article with the guy's name and knows what happened. That's powerful because that shows you things are lining up. The spirits want to be heard. And now that you're giving them that voice, it makes it easier for them to, you know, to spread that message. And I think that that's what we've been working on the whole time with this, is sharing all the aspects of the stories of the ghosts that were forgotten.
Yeah. You tap into these raw emotions a lot. And I was making a joke. Now, I don't drink alcohol and I know Cindy doesn't, But there must be a drinking game out there in America or wherever Discovery Plus and Travel Channel reach. Every time you guys drop an expletive out of shock and amazement and everything, that'd be a heck of a drinking game.
You'd be drunk in the first 8 minutes of the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. I try not to have potty mouth on TV, but sometimes you just can't help it. You know, it just like happens.
There's a piece of evidence that is pretty amazing. You are alone in the house. Well, not alone. You were with the cameraman. I think KD was in the basement. Dave was out in the field. But there's something that moves. I don't want to give it away. People.
Oh yeah.
Something moves. Yeah. And one thing, my wife, she was watching it with me and she's like, look at Cindy go. You saw the thing move. You saw it. You were part of it. I mean, you were there. And you walked toward it. You actually kind of stuck your head into what was going on there. You didn't run away. You didn't shy away from it. So we had to hand it to you that you were right in there. You did not run.
Yeah. You know, it's like in that particular scene, it's like, I was just kind of doing my thing and I was like, wow, you know, like some, it was so crazy what happened. And I'm glad that I didn't run out because you got to stay in there and see what's going on. But I can see how for like somebody that's not used to doing this work, they probably would have been really freaked out.
Yeah, we rewound it and watched it a couple times. We're just like, I'm like, not that I'm looking, not to debunk anything like that, but you know, I'm just watching it.
It's only natural. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So I'm watching, I'm like, holy cow. Like I'm looking over here on this side of the screen to see if any, you know what I mean? Just not to, like I said, not to debunk, like I'm doing anything like that, but it's just like, it's just when you have that filmed and it's so crystal clear and you're right there, it's just amazing to see the evidence that's just right there in front of you.
Well, Brian, look, I'm looking to debunk things too when stuff like that happens. I'm like, no, let's see what really is going on here. Like I look for everything other than paranormal, I think initially, because I'm like, there's got to be an explanation other than paranormal. And then you can't find one. You're like, it really did happen. Like you can't explain it. I mean, we saw that time and time and time again in Butte, but also on Holzer Files. I was like, what? This is crazy, you know? So it's pretty amazing what the spirit world is capable of doing.
That, my favorite thing with Cindy is always, right, you can watch something massive happen and she's very calm. But when we get an EVP, we actually record the voice she's hearing. Her responses are always awesome because she's hearing it. She's not nuts. She's not making this up, and we caught exactly what she's dealing with. And that's so cool. So she gets that validation moment. It's cool to see that at this stage in her career and doing what she's still excited by getting that corroboration.
Oh, I'm so excited by that corroboration because I'll tell you, like, and this is how I explain how I work. It's like playing Pictionary charades and telephone all at the same time. And 99% of the time, the things that I'm experiencing are internal. So I'm feeling or I'm seeing imagery in my mind or I'm doing automatic writing. So when I actually externally hear spirits talking, it's like, oh my God, it does. It kind of freaks me out, especially some of the EVPs that are like so strong. I mean, just like super strong EVPs. So yeah, I mean, I do react. I think like the average person would when I hear some of those EVPs because they're actually pretty scary.
Now, Dave, I don't have the miles under my belt that you do with paranormal investigating. But you
is
know,
that a nice way of calling me old?
No. And we're talking experience. I've got gray in my beard. I got gray in my beard. I'm talking experience. But so you know, we've all come across EVPs in our lives, and you know, they give us pause, they make us think, they make us wonder. But on this show, you have some, I don't know, man, you got some blue ribbon award-winning class A EVPs that you have on this show. And so Cindy, when you hear these, like you're communicating or feeling or being communicative with spirits, but when you hear it played back, what is that like?
Yeah. I mean, it's chilling. It's chilling. It really, that's the best way that I can describe it. And I mean, it's amazing because I know the spirit world is real. That's my job. Right. And then when you hear that coming out of a machine, you hear the voices of the spirits. It's incredible. I mean, I like to say, like, I don't need the validation to keep doing what I'm doing because I love what I do. But to get the validation is like icing on the top, you know, it's the cherry on the top, because I think people always wonder, like, what it's like to be a medium. And as I said before, it's like a lot of the stuff I experience is in my own mind. It's within me. I'm seeing imagery. So everybody else in the world gets to hear the spirits, you know, as well. And I think that that's really important. So being able to work with the technology, it's a really beautiful pair.
Yeah, sure, sure. You know, and one thing that's neat is that you have different tools. I mean, the paranormal investigator people think, well, you got a digital recorder, you got an SLS camera, you got a REM pod, you got all these, you know, glowing things and whatnot. But a medium's bag of tricks is a little bit different. You're using automatic writing. You're doing psychometry, all kinds of things that you bring to the table that are very, very, well, they're interesting, but they're just such a quiver of arrows. They're just like the tools in your toolbox. How do you decide? Maybe it's just through your training, but how do you decide, I'm going to do automatic writing now, I'm going to do psychometry now, I'm going to do a reading now, I'm going to, like, talk us through, like, are some better in some locations than others, or is it just intuition, or just whatever?
It's really interesting because, like, I like to go into every investigation just being really open to whatever is about to happen. So I don't go in thinking I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I use automatic writing typically when I'm feeling very overwhelmed by the psychic imprinting left behind or the numerous spirits that are all trying to talk to me at the same time. It's super confusing. So automatic writing helps me get really focused. So that's why I tend to use it. And certain investigations. Also, you know, automatic writing allows me to completely get out of my own way because I'm not having to interpret the information as it comes in. It's actually just coming through me. So I'm seeing it as it happens at the same time that you guys are, right? I don't hear it and write it down. It's just coming through in real time. So it's just a different way. And in some ways, it's a more clear channel. But psychometry is really useful, too, when I need to tap into the history of a location. Hmm. So when you really focus on, you know, touching an object, touching the walls, touching a banister, and with the intention of focusing in on what happened here, what's the history of this location, psychometry is very useful. So that's typically when I'll use the psychometry. And then, you know, most of the time, honestly, Brian, I just kind of let whatever happens happen, you know, and we spend a lot of time in these locations. I mean, we have to edit everything down to 47 minutes or however many minutes. So, you know, a lot of stuff is coming through that people aren't seeing. It would be really cool if there was like a extended cut or just so people could see all the other things that we experience in the locations, because there's a lot of stuff happening.
Oh, sure. You're at the mercy of your producers and your editors because they, you know, you only have so many episodes and you're bound by the network time constraints. But yeah, how long were you guys in, like, Butte, Montana?
What, three months?
Yeah. So yeah, a little over 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't just, you know, a couple night overnight investigation. No. This is, you are in the community for 3 months. Yeah. And cameras rolling the whole time. So it must be just just what a feat to go through and to put together 42 minute episodes, 10, 12, I forget how many there are this season. But to put
eight.
All that,
we have eight episodes. So it's going to take us through the middle part of Ghostober on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus.
Yeah. So when you're putting these things together, eight episodes and you have this concept when you show up there the first day, how often do you guys have to not scrap what you're doing, but I see a couple false starts. Like you kind of go down, you know, the role of history and you kind of look at this house and this owner of the house. And then you kind of decide, well, maybe that's not what we're looking at. Like, talk me through, like, do you ever have to do like a reset? Like, oh my gosh, we were going down this road. Look where the evidence is bringing us. It takes us in a whole different direction. Like, how do you do with that?
Well, with the Fink family, you know, we had to take care of that case very cautiously. They were having experiences. They had suffered a loss within the last year. So we know the history. We also have to take into account, is this something more personal? And then we know, you know, as Cindy starts getting hints from spirit that there's something else going on here, we start getting these EVP from underground that there's a bigger overall picture. So you start, like you said, you start going down what you know, and then you trust in the process that what wants to be revealed will make itself known, or at least start getting you there. And then Cindy does her work. Katie does her work. I do my work. We bring it back to Fisk. He goes back with his group and they try to sift through it to see if they can make sense of any of this. And when they find hits, they bring those back to us. And sometimes it has sent us on a totally different leg of this. We're thinking, oh, it's this, you know, it's projecting in a blue dress because blah, 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 blah. No, it's the bluebird mine. It's letting us know that, you know, it's giving us the signs and it's just in how to interpret it. And that's when Cindy can see the overarching picture and put it together for us.
Fascinating.
And that's why you got to take classes with Cindy Geza. I'm just telling you.
Oh become my a God. Good medium. Dave's my number one promoter. No, but it's true because like it's super interesting, right? Because like I was saying, like with imagery, it can be like Pictionary, charades, and telephone. Like, was the woman literally wearing a blue dress, or does the blue dress represent the color blue, which leads to something else that's connected and so on and so forth. And so, you know, that's why I'm really grateful that I have, you know, so much experience working with spirits and working with imagery and training, because otherwise, like, you can miss so many important pieces of the puzzle. So, and every investigation that I'm on, I'm constantly learning and growing. I consider myself a lifelong student of mediumship. So, I mean, I learn from all of these cases. It's really interesting.
Well, you're talking about how you evolve as a medium, but what about spirit? Does spirit evolve? Do they get smarter? Do they learn from their mistakes? Wow. Really?
It's interesting. So look, I'm going to say this, like, before I even tell you what my experiences are with this particular, you know, question, but yeah. I would be very bold to say that I understand the complete workings of the afterlife. I do not. I can only speak from my experience working with the spirit world. And
wait, what?
I know, right?
And I said I wanted an expert. That's
right. Yeah, right. I know. And I'm sure when I get to the other side, I'm going to be like, got that wrong. So let me just throw that out there. But based on my experiences working with different spirits and different energies and going to these investigations, I really do believe that the soul has the ability to progress on the other side. But I think a lot of the times when we're in these the haunted locations where there are spirits that have unfinished business, I think that we're dealing with the fragmented aspects of these souls that have healing to do, that want to be reintegrated with the whole, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're dealing with spirits that, again, are remorseful or angry, or whatever their story is. And my job as a medium is to hopefully show up in the most neutral way possible so I can be open to hearing what they have to say. Because again, if I am going in with all these judgments against the spirits and what they've done wrong, how can I help anything? Right. So it's been a really, really amazing journey in the fields work in the paranormal fields, learning to work with spirits that have done some pretty honestly terrible things. And how do I show up for that? And how do I talk to these spirits? And how do I approach them and approach people in the living? It's a very delicate balance, you know?
And to get Cindy to that place, a lot of times we'd make her sit in the back of the RV and she just, she'd huff in all of that horrible carbon monoxide from this piece of garbage RV we had.
It was awful. It was so awful.
She'd be right on the line of life and death there. She could really see.
No, I threw up. I like the first night we were in that thing, I literally got out and threw up. I got car sick. It was so awful.
I was going to ask about that old school RV that you guys are rolling around in. Nice wheels.
You're welcome, America. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
They were like, let's go get a slick vehicle. And I'm like, no, man, we got to blend. We can't, when we're parked out on the streets doing this, this got to just look like any other day on the street. So we got this.
Dave was trying to kill us. He's like, I'm going to make them spirits.
It was bad. Yeah. But we had fun. That was the important thing. And, you know, we learned a lot of lessons along the way and hearing these spirits. And, you know, what's exciting is there's still a lot to play out in this series that I hope people enjoy and can learn from. And I don't think we're the end all be all to have cured Butte of its paranormal ills, but I think we certainly helped get to a major problem. And, you know, if they want us back, I think, you know, I for one would be happy to go back to Butte and spend another 3 months looking at it. Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's very compelling television. I enjoyed watching so far the four episodes, And you guys work so well together. I mean, I was a big fan of the Holzer Files. And, you know, like I mentioned, the Shock Docs that you guys have both been on before, and then working with Steve Shippey and just everything else. It's just incredible. And while I got you on the line, before I let you go, I had mm-hmm. a question or two about some psychical experiences I had for Cindy and Dave. With your expertise and your knowledge, please jump in. But Cindy,
let me tell you right away, just take Cindy's classes and that'll
Dave gets 10%. This is the business going.
I wish. Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, I would be remiss not to say that, you know, on Cindy's website, you can follow mm-hmm. her live events. Like I bought tickets when you came to the Funny Bone in Omaha to do a gallery reading. And if you keep scrolling, every once in a while you do these Zoom classes, these online classes to enhance your mediumship or to learn more about it. So yeah, those are something that, Cindy, I'll be probably seeing you on Zoom again sometime.
Awesome. Would love it.
The psychic stuff is so interesting to me. And when you said earlier that we all have a little bit, like we can all learn to play a little bit of piano, but we're not all going to be concert pianists. And earlier you touched on how if you, and Dave too, with your magnet analogy, when you're talking about opening yourself up to these experiences, here's something that's weird that happened to me very recently. I'm a musician here in town in Omaha, and I was playing my trumpet at a church service, and at communion, which is about just past halfway the service. We were playing a song by an Omaha composer. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, an Omaha composer, but the song that he wrote is in every Catholic hymnal written that's been edited since 1984. It's a very famous song. It's played all over the world. I was playing this song with a group of musicians. And during that service, my wife was thinking about my friend Marty, who wrote the song. I was thinking about Marty while I was playing it. Who emails me during the church service asking me to go to lunch because we hadn't seen each other in a long time? But my friend Marty, while I was playing the song. No joke.
I mean, my brother's name is Marty too, Brian, just so you know. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just
there you go.
Add a little icing.
But so weird. Like, I hadn't seen him forever. I'm playing his song in a room full of people. I'm thinking about Marty, the good times we've had. My wife's thinking about, oh, I wonder how Marty's doing. Marty is thinking of me enough to email me. And I checked the timestamp on the email. I checked the church service was streaming. I counted back, you know, if it started at 5:30, you know, like it lined up while I was playing the song. We were all thinking of each other. He emails me out of the blue and asks me to lunch. Psychic? No. Maybe
psychic. Yeah, no, completely. It's completely right. So you guys are both tapped into each other, or you were really tapped in and he picked up on, you know, your energy going towards him. Who knows? Right. It's consciousness is a really interesting thing. Can I just share this one story quickly?
Of course. You got all night.
Right. I think it's relevant, but here's the thing. It's like, I was doing this event probably 5 years ago in California. On stage, one of my gallery events, and I was bringing through the spirit. I thought I was bringing through spirit. So, but I was describing this man and his life. I went to this woman and I was like, I'm hearing the name Garrett, right? So this woman is like, actually, Garrett is my friend who I had lunch with today before your event. She had just had lunch with Garrett, right? Who is still alive. And she said to me, the man you're describing is Garrett's best friend who's going to be taken off of life support tomorrow at 1:15.
Wow.
So the friend wasn't dead yet, but I was accurately describing him. And he was giving me messages to give to this woman in the audience to give her friend to Garrett, who was still alive. So, you know, if I initially thought like I'm connecting to a spirit, but what that's showing us is, I mean, and a lot of times when people are in comas on life support, have late stage Alzheimer's, it's like they have one foot in and one foot out. You know, you can kind of, you feel in that way, but there's a lot that we don't understand is what I'm trying to say about how all of this works and what's possible. And so it's just another example of how you can be communicating with somebody in real time that's still alive and you're having an actual experience at the same time. So even though you weren't talking to your friend Marty, you guys were having a connection in a different energetic space, right?
Amazing. Yeah, I felt the same way. And it just like, it shocked me in a way that it happened just like that. And it wasn't like an hour later he emailed me or an hour before. It was during the song. So it was just too much for me to ignore. And it's just something to think about. I think these paranormal experiences, ghosts, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, psychic premonitions, you know, precognition. Just all these things are all wrapped up somehow. And it's just such a wonderful mystery of life and how they're all wrapped up together. And it's just fun to explore, especially when I have two world-renowned experts on my show just to kind of bounce ideas off of. It's amazing.
It's been awesome being here, Brian.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, you'll see me under the overpass spitting on windshields, wiping them off with my dirty sleeve. So I got that to look forward to.
Well, great. You know, honestly, guys, as our time here draws to a close, just having you guys on the program, what an honor and a treat. I'm big fans of yours. Dave, I've been listening to you first on Darkness Radio when you're on in Minnesota. Now at the Paranormal 60, all your specials, your TV specials. You just got a great reputation of being just a great guy. And, you know, you follow you on Twitter and on Facebook, and you're always asking for prayers and helpful. You know, you got a helpful demeanor. Mm-hmm. And for you to appear on my show, you know, I don't have the listenership you do. But, you know, it's great. I just really appreciate the time and the passion that both of you bring to your projects and to share them with everybody and to share it with me on my program today. I'm very, very appreciative.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah, that's why we do it, right? To get the voices for the forgotten and get them back out there. And we appreciate shows like yours that give us an opportunity to talk about that and promote it. So I hope your listeners and viewers will watch The Ghosts of Devil's Perch. And again, if you've missed any of the episodes, are on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus. We're going to be running another 4 episodes into the mid part of October, Ghosttober. You don't want to miss them. And I think you're in for a hell of a thrill ride.
And if you got the opportunity to see Cindy come to your town and do a gallery reading, go to mediumcindykaza.com. She's got events. Dave, you have all kinds of events. You're going all over the world with your paranormal explorations. And I caught you guys mm-hmm. at a strange escape. So you guys are out there and everybody should pay attention to what you guys are doing because it's really groundbreaking, important, but also fun. It's fun to follow you guys around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Cindy and Dave on this episode of Necronomicast.
Thank you, Brian.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Boys and girls, children of all ages, Cindy Kaza and Dave Schrader on Necronomicast. Man, it feels really good to say that. I've been a big fan of Cindy Kaza for a long time. Like I said, I've been in her gallery readings. Amazing. And Dave Schrader, I've spent so much time over 10, 12, 15 years. I don't even know how long I've been listening to Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio. Now the Paranormal 60. That was a big show. And here come more big shows. All of October. 5 of them. Can you believe it? 5 for October. Next, episode 234. Heather Taddy and Katrina Weidman. Following that up with Becky Ann Galantine. Harriet McFeely from the Bigfoot Crossroads of America Museum. The Spooky Stuff, Alex Matsuo, and from Ghost Hunters, Sherry D. Benedetti. Those are my October shows. Beat that, Dave Schrader. Necronomicast. Happy Halloween, everybody. Go get some sleep.